Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team, led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
That's right. Welcome back to Post Show Recap Theater. My name is Grace. I'm here with Ariel. Ariel, we're going to an island, like a private island.
I learn everything live on the pod. I never know anything ahead of time, so I love when you tell me things. Yeah. It's incredible. That's I'm so excited to be here in this non-spoilery fashion.
That's right. I know. This is a first. We typically do, you know, spoiler-free thoughts, see it or skip it at the beginning, and then as you have coined, we spill the PSRT. There'll be no spilling of PSRT today.
Sad. I made this fresh pot, and now I don't know what to
do. Keep it.
I guess I can still spill it, just not on the pod.
Yeah, we could talk about something else at the end that we could spoil for everybody.
Spoiled how we forgot about something.
Yeah, that's true. I segued right into that. Yeah. But no, Glass Onion came up with the world's weirdest marketing strategy, where for some reason over Thanksgiving week, they were like, yeah, let's release the movie in theaters for 1 week exactly, limited run, and then it will come out at the end of the year. But for 1 week, like a month early, people can maybe watch it unless it's not playing anywhere near them.
Unless they missed it, yeah.
Yeah.
Glass Onion, A Knives Out Mystery.
What do you think of this expanding the Knives Out universe?
My initial reaction, I'm like a season one purist for certain shows, like most notably Stranger Things season one and Downton Abbey season one. Those two should have.
Do you know
ended.
What this is very like? This is very White Lotus of Knives Out, to be like, actually we're a limited series. Just kidding.
Right. And and to
one character will return.
White Lotus's credit, they're not the first ones to do it in TV, but that's like a very recent example. And I think to your point overall, this for sure feels a little bit more like a TV thing than a movie thing.
Yes.
But at first I was like a little hesitant because of my like season one purity, but then I'm like, wait, this is a movie. And he was so good, him being our main character, Benoit Blanc, played by Daniel Craig. I was like, this could be incredible. Like with anything else, obviously, if it's well done and it's going to be the same people at least returning as far as behind the scenes, you know, Rian Johnson, notably directing and writing both this one and the first one. I was like, this could actually be like a super fun every couple of years we come back to this. I wouldn't hate it.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Do you hate it?
No, I don't hate it. I was not as like, so I love Knives Out. I really love Knives Out. I was a little bit like skeptical for sure of like Glass Onion, especially the Netflix, like Netflix just buying it and then being like, okay, now it's going to be a Netflix thing. But I mean, I went and watched this movie and it was so much fun. So I can't really like be mad at it existing, I don't think. So
it was incroyable, as the French would say.
Yeah.
I had a really fun time as well when I went to see it. If you're listening to this and you're like, oh, it's out in theaters, you have, I think, today and tomorrow left. Yeah. It is
short window.
They seem to be very strict. I was kind of anticipating a like a possible extension, at least of a couple of days. But it seems for the moment like they're gonna be pretty strict with Wednesday the 30th, excuse me, being the last day that they're showing it. So, you know, if you want to see it, you can, I guess, depending on, like Grace said, if it's playing near you. Otherwise, the good news is you can watch it and the holidays will be here in no time. I think it's December 23rd. Yeah, the 23rd that it comes out on Netflix. Definitely see it though if you can get a babysitter. People lead very complicated lives.
I don't know. What do you have kids? I don't know. Figure it out. Go to the movies.
It's a murder mystery. You got to find out who done it, right? But yes, I had such a fun time. I actually saw it a second time because
not gonna get to for a while. Yeah,
I really enjoy this, and seemingly we're not gonna get to see it in theaters again. So I think that bodes well. The fact that I was willing to go see it again. I mean, willing, please. I love it, the movies, but that I was like happy to go see it again. And I actually liked it more the second time. I liked it a lot the first time, but the second time I was like, oh, wow, is this movie amazing?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, before we dive in further, I'll just say, make sure you subscribe, pushrecaps.com/movies, search for Pusher Show Recaps Theater in your podcaster catcher of choice. Subscribe, rate, and review, please. It's much appreciated. Yeah, I think that, again, I had a very low bar. I know that it was it got good reviews out of TIFF. It was the second runner-up for People's Choice behind Women Talking and The Fabelmans. And so people were liking it for sure, but I still had this like, yeah, I don't know if I buy it, you know? And as it was going, there's part of it that like, I was not loving. And then there's a point in the movie where it really clicked for me and I was like, okay, fine. This is very fun. Fine. It's good. It's a good movie. And
reluctantly.
Reluctantly. Yeah. It's a good movie. And so, yeah, I think probably on a second viewing, I probably would like it more as well, because I will not be like, I'll know what it's doing the whole time. Mm-hmm. Like it's definitely a murder mystery movie. Right. Mm-hmm. So, it is, you know, it is hiding things from you and revealing information as it goes along.
And big reveals.
Yeah. Big reveals. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Benoit Blanc is back. Daniel Craig returns. I did not go back and watch Knives Out. Is he canonically LGBTQ in the first movie? Is this a spoiler? I don't know if this is a spoiler, but like, it's definitely all over Twitter that like Benoit Blanc is gay.
I honestly don't remember if it's a thing. Yeah, I guess now I'm like wondering if that's a spoiler. It's definitely, I don't know.
It's literally not important to the movie. So like, you know, it's,
calm down. No. But for sure, that's actually not even, I think to the point that you're making, it's actually not even brought up. Like it's never even talked about. It's actually just something that is kind of,
agreed.
Shown in a way. Like I won't say more than that, but like, it's almost unfair to call it a spoiler because it's like, yes, it's in the movie, but it's almost not in the movie, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And also
to
like
answer your question, I don't think so.
It's not, I guess Ryan Johnson says like, you know, it was not in the first one. And then it's it's pretty explicit. Although
it's fairly explicit. Although people found ways to kind of doubt the explicitness of this thing. But I will say very quickly, speaking of Ryan Johnson, and reveals, I was at the movies on Thursday night. Was it Thursday or was it Wednesday? It was the first, whatever. One of the
Wednesday was the day.
First night. I think it was, because it wasn't Thanksgiving. It must have been Wednesday. It was Wednesday. Thank you. Thank you, me, for remembering that.
No problem.
And I'm walking to it was like pre-theater. It was like right before the previews were still going. And I promise there's a point to the story. And I was going to the bathroom. And it was one of those like moments where there's not a commotion, but there's like a group walking by you and you're not really noticing anything. And then I noticed that there was a security guy because he was super tall. And I was like, oh, I noticed this tall person and he was wearing a pin. I was like, okay, that looks like it's hired security. And I was like, oh, wait, that means that someone in front of this person was important. Ah, damn, I missed it. And then they went into the back and I didn't really think anything of it. Then 5 minutes later, I'm sitting in the theater and Ryan Johnson comes out in front of the theater and he's standing there and everybody's freaking out, myself included. I'm not trying to like say that I'm too cool. And he was there and he was just like, hey, thank you so much for coming to the movies to see my movie. I really hope you like it. We had a lot of fun making it. And at this point I started recording my video of it and it was great. It was incredible. Honestly, it made me more excited for the movie, which sounds so dumb. But it was like, wow, look, he was here and nobody tackled him. This is so nice. This is so positive for the human race.
Were you at the one where Ryan Johnson reacted to the Nicole Kidman promo? Were you at an AMC theater?
No, I was at Alamo. See, and I imagine.
Have you heard of this?
No, I haven't even heard of this. I want to hear that story. But mine was a 6 o'clock showing. And I wondered both what if he was doing it for the other ones and if he was doing like a little bit of a, non-denominational going around, you know, like showing up at somewhere else. So yeah, tell me the AMC story.
So there's a tweet from yesterday. So obviously not the day you saw it. And he says, I saw, this is from Sean at Borderline Smart, says, I saw Glass Onion tonight. And after Nicole Kidman finished her AMC promo with, because here they are, which is that something we don't get this promo.
AMC, yes. Her line is, movies are perfect and powerful because here they are, like, and like here at AMC they're better, basically.
And then someone in the crowd shouted, you're goddamn right, and it was Ryan Johnson who stood up and he introduced the movie.
That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah, but yeah, we don't get the AMC we don't have AMC theaters here,
it's cool for like 10 times after that. It's just like, ugh.
I, you know what, there was a thing at TIFF where there was there specifically cannot remember the brand, but it's Anne Hathaway and Zendaya who do like a jewelry commercial, and I think I sent you the video, and people started like clapping along, and like it's very fun. It was very fun for like a week, but by the last showing I was like, enough, we've done it.
With this.
So this movie, I think it's so strange that it's only in theaters for a week. And I get that like Netflix paid like $500 million or whatever for the movie and wanted it to be on Netflix. And that's totally fine. But yeah, this movie was so fun. We just joked about the White Lotus-ing, which is not a thing, because like, you know, American Horror Story exists and American Crime Story and all these other things. But they do decide to recast another, it's a different murder mystery. Everyone, so this one, as we mentioned, set on a private island, and we're gonna meet a whole new crew of people. This was exciting to you to like, I feel like they cast this pretty well. I feel like almost everybody in the main crew, I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll watch them. That's fun.
This cast is stacked, and we will spend, because we're going non-spoiler, we will spend, we're not going to spoil any of the cameos, which some of which were very exciting,
some good ones.
We're going to spoil only people that you will have seen in the trailer, quote unquote the main cast. I definitely enjoyed the first movie, Knives Out. Like, I think that was a great cast, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis, Ana de Armas, Toni Collette, like some heavy hitters. This one feels like, what would be like, somebody sat around the table and like, what would be like some of the dream gets? And what I always love about this kind of thing, or I mean, I guess this is, it's a little bit of a unicorn as far as we've already talked about, like the movie and the form and the function working together, but just the idea of doing like a one-off, or in TV, like a one-off season, and getting big name celebrities to be in it, because it's a limited commitment, right? And a big star, they have a lot of things that they have to make and want to make and have to negotiate and all that. This is freaking incredible. I was so excited. And my point in bringing that part of it up, the actors, is I feel like the actors tend to have so much fun when it's something like this, like especially this franchise. Now, I guess it's a franchise. It's fun at its heart. It's funny. Yes, there tend to be murders, which is a very serious subject, but also the character of Benoit Blanc is such a funny, smart character, and the sense of humor in these movies is so palpable and fine-tuned. This, I mean, there's like one person on the cast that I didn't know, and the main cast, everyone else, I'm like, not only do I know this person and like this person, but I feel like because some of the other roles that they have been in, I have somewhat of a personal connection. And as I think I've talked about this previously in the pod, like sometimes you bring those previous emotional connections and feelings that you have for these actors from their other roles, and it just makes everything better. I was so happy with this cast.
I do think the one-offness of this being a thing other than for Daniel Craig is something that for sure is very fun and enticing. You know, I think like to talk about White Lotus for a second, like, you know, I don't know that you get Aubrey Plaza if you're trying to rope her in for like, you know, this could be a 5-season arc, you know, to so many things that she might want to do instead. And so I think the same thing here, where like the first movie was such a hit, and then to be able to convince people like, come and do this one off, but you're not stuck. I mean, this is the exact same time that like, you know, people are also in like Marvel movies. Although I guess with the Marvel stuff, like, you know, it's not like in the way that like there was like three, like it feels like at least this way that there aren't like three Iron Mans happening. And he, you know, he was trying, they were really trying to get the thing off the ground. And that it seems like you might be in one, you might have a cameo in another and then come be on the Avengers movie is like much more what it seems like. So, yeah, I think it's very fun. This is not the only thing that Rian Johnson is working on as well. He has a TV show that I believe he executive produced. I'm not sure how much he's going to be. No, he is the director and writer of Poker Face. Yeah. Which is a case of the week mystery comedy drama. And Natasha Lyonne is also executive producing and starring in that as well. So I feel like, yeah, Rian Johnson is sort of, and in that you have Joseph Gordon-Levitt, you have Adrian Brody, Chloe Sevigny, who was in Ron Perlman starring as well. Judith Light is going to be in that.
Light of my life.
Jamila Jamil. So yeah, I feel like he has this reputation. He must be like good to work with because people seemingly are like, yeah, I'll come do your like mystery thing. And I also I wonder if there's like an avenue. We've talked about what's popular at the moment. It is like Marvel horror. And I wonder if, you know, this movie doesn't like crush at the box office, but it was very limited. It was not a full theatrical release. So.
And to that point a little bit, I think what's important now is, yes, those franchises, but also being able to create new ones and create ones from scratch whenever possible that are not based in existing IP, because as we all know, that's super, super rare these days. But to have people immediately interested. And I think it's almost like you can't plan for it to be successful. You have to like react when it's successful, because as far as I can tell, like Knives Out, it did well and it was great. It did extremely well, right? Both critically and commercially. Yeah. And then the idea came out for a sequel. Like, you know, I'm sure there was a suit at some point.
Netflix, like,
oh, maybe we can do it. You know, we can make this into a thing. But it wasn't until Netflix bought it. And then I think they announced two movies coming, right?
Or I believe so. Yeah, the extended universe. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm all for it. To your point about the movie, it feels like maybe a concession with Rian Johnson himself, where it was like, okay, I'll give you the rights for Netflix exclusivity, but like I do need it in the theaters for like a limited amount of time. He's, you know, it strikes me as that being important to him. Maybe, I don't know, but I think
the fact that he went to the movies. And then there's also the like, I'm sure this is fine, but Netflix sometimes does have to release the movie in theaters, even very limitedly, so that it can have any sort of Oscar
eligibility. Yes. But yeah, to your point, that's actually a good point. To your point about people, about he himself coming to the movie, I think you're right that speaks to something, some level of how important it is to him for people to see it in that venue as much as possible, at least.
Yeah. Okay, let's run through who is joining Daniel Craig. Daniel Craig obviously returning as Benoit Blanc, the detective. Oh boy, don't do the Wikipedia page before you go to this movie. I know if the full plot is here, but under the cast there's a major spoiler. So just be very careful. I'm just going to go randomly. Kate Hudson. I feel like a really fun get for this movie. What has Kate Hudson been up to before this?
Most recently, I feel like it's been a little bit of a while.
She had a run on Glee, right?
Her best known role on Glee. I mean, famous for a lot of things, but I think almost famous being
For sure.
Like one of the biggest ones. And I'm seeing there's a TV series called Barely Famous. Oh, it seemed like it was. Anyway, whatever.
not going on that.
But I think for the most part, it felt like when I saw her in the movie, it felt like, oh, I haven't seen her in a while.
Agreed.
And I think there's something valuable about like that nostalgia that we get. And yeah, she's incredible in this.
She's so good. She's really good. Perhaps my favorite performance of the movie is the Kate Hudson performance. I wonder if Kate Hudson is there a thing where like she's doing something else, you know, like kind of who's the other Gwyneth Paltrow, like is there like some Gwyneth Paltrow in it? Like obviously Kate Hudson is not creating her own version of Goop, but like has a pretty big gap in her resume from 2017 to
she wants it to be different, so she's calling hers Gloop.
Coop. Kate Hudson's Coop.
Coop with a K.
With a K. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh, like yeah, it looks like a lot of her roles. She did two movies in 2021, but one's called Music, but like I hadn't heard of either of these movies. Music and then Mona Lisa and the Blood Moon. And
this was like in like very indie movie territory. This is for sure, I think we can comfortably say, like the biggest budget thing she's been in quite a while.
Oh, Music is the Sia movie.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that tracks why that one got pushed a little bit under the radar. Yeah. So this felt like a big
Leslie Odom Jr. is also in that
movie. He also is in Music. I know, I saw. Yeah. Yeah. Hilarious. Uh-huh. But yes, it felt like a return. She's like cast perfectly in this movie, in terms of her character. She's very funny and very fun in this movie. I was very excited to see Kate Hudson sort of return to
great
form.
Great fashion.
Yeah. Maybe has my favorite, and this is a weird thing to say, COVID joke in the whole, like not in the movie, like my favorite COVID like bit. I will, a small spoiler, like it is the thing takes place while COVID is happening.
Yeah, I think it's 2020.
It might be 2021. Is it 2020, 2021? I can't remember, but alas,
it's in there. It's during that time.
I don't even know if they date it or if they just say it's happening during the COVID pandemic. Maybe
there's a date at some point early on. Yeah, she's wonderful. She does a great job. I was very happy for Kate Hudson to see her not only in something this big again, but also her be so good in it, because I think it's great for her stock.
I totally agree. All right, Leslie Odom Jr. We name dropped Leslie Odom Jr. What do we most known, I think, for playing Aaron Burr in Hamilton.
I thought he was great. I think some people would have wanted him to sing, which he didn't get to sing in this.
He didn't sing. Yeah.
I always enjoy him. I think he always plays, or not always. I've seen him in a couple of things. The few things that I've seen him in, not including Hamilton, plays like a little bit of the straight guy. And I don't mean that sexual orientation wise. I just mean, as far as like the character that like people kind of measure against a little bit. I thought he's good. And when that group of people, it's not easy. It's not easy to stand out amongst this group of people when some of the other people have like the juicier lines.
Agreed. I think if there's anything I would say is that it's not his performance or anything. It's that he's the probably the most underutilized of anybody in the main cast.
Yeah.
And that's just a little bit of a writing thing that I feel like to a certain degree, they had an idea of what they wanted and then they don't really know how to use him entirely. Like to the point of him being like, I feel like they wrote his character is like, he's very cool. And then so he gets to be very cool, I will say, in the movie. He's a pretty cool looking dude. But he doesn't do as much as I maybe would have wanted from Leslie Odom Jr. And to the point of like singing, I do feel like I don't know that I needed any. I don't know that I need it, but you're right. It is like, it is a thing he's known for. And he doesn't
feels like
do
a
it.
Gimme, but yeah.
Yeah. Catherine Hahn. Catherine Hahn has, I feel like, has been underrated for many years. And then is in WandaVision and I feel like has a bit of a Twitter moment and is appreciated. People are like, oh my god, Catherine Hahn's great, and there's so many people who are like, yeah, we know she's been in like so much stuff, like in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, is in Anchorman, is in Step Brothers, is on Parks and Rec for many years, like she's great. Very good in this movie.
Yeah, she's great in everything, like you said, and I totally agree. She's definitely had like a resurgence more recently, at least to your point, as far as being on people's radars. Not mine, to be clear, but it doesn't matter because I'm happy for her. I think for sure there's a lot of mileage that she's getting out of that. And it's actually her face is the first, she's the first person you meet in the movie.
Yes.
So I actually thought, I remember in the moment thinking, so that's smart, insane. Starting with Catherine Hahn. I love her.
Yeah.
That's how I felt about it.
As you've been talking about White Lotus, there's a little bit of White Lotus and a synergy here that Agatha Kevin of Chaos, Aubrey Plaza, I believe, has signed on to be in Coven of Chaos.
Oh,
with Catherine Hahn.
I learned something today.
See? Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, just tremendous. I think a flawless performance from Catherine Hahn is great. Has one of the there's a tense moment and she has one of the funniest lines in the movie in terms of like breaking the tension, which is exactly what she needs to do. She's great. She's so good.
She is never not completely in the moment or believable. And I don't mean that just here. I mean that across all her roles seemingly. And here's no different.
100%. And the character she's playing, I feel like she's very good. It's not actually that different from Parks and Rec a little bit. She's like reprising some of Parks and Rec energy, perhaps. There's one piece of that as I walked away, I did say that one of the things I really liked of the movie is that it's a really fun rewatchable movie because so much stuff like pay attention the whole time is basically what I'm gonna say, which I do again. I feel like it's gonna be tough for a Netflix movie where like people can second screen. I was in a packed
and
theater.
Like pause. That's true. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Just rewind. Oh, hit that minus 10 seconds.
Yeah. We'll chat after and we'll chat when we do our full spoil, because I don't know if we said this, but we will be doing a full spoiler a version of this pod.
Spoilers for our pod that we're gonna be covering this movie when it comes out on Netflix with full spoilers? What?
That is a spoiler. No.
Wow. We just spoiled it.
There's a thing in her storyline that I feel like doesn't make sense, but we'll chat about that. Mm-hmm. Later.
Ooh, yeah. I'm so curious what that
it's
is.
Actually maybe my only knock on the movie, perhaps. So, uh-huh. Yeah. All right, Ariel. You know I'm a wrestling fan, and so here he is. Once known as the Animal, Dave Bautista.
Edward Norton. Oh no, it's Dave.
Yeah, it's very weird that Edward Norton went as Dave Bautista in his wrestling career. Yeah, it's very strange. He's in Dune, Drax the Destroyer himself. It's Dave Bautista.
Yeah, similar to Catherine Hahn, had a breakout Marvel role that blew open his career in a way that to be clear, I think is well deserved. Great as Drax in the Guardians of the Galaxy franchise, always. And here, just having a lot of fun. Like, that's, I said this earlier about actors committing to these kinds of things because it can be fun, I think. And to your point, a little bit, seemingly the reputation that Rian Johnson has and some of the people making this cast having so much fun, and him probably one of the most fun havers, if you will, as far as I'm concerned, just super funny. And I almost said a word that was kind of a spoiler, and just like a hoot to watch. And even when you're like, ew, I don't like that from a character, you're still like, this person is hilarious and I can't help but enjoy watching them.
Yeah, I mean, I have to admit, I was not ready for Dave Bautista to actually be a real good actor. Like, I did not think it would work. He is, as a pro wrestler, he was absolutely one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. I grew up, I was right at the age where Dave Bautista kicking butt was really cool.
Yeah.
And but he was never known as a very charismatic guy. Like, he looked the part, but then he would talk and you're like, yeah, I don't know if he's I don't know if he's exactly, if it's exactly working. Like, he's not The Rock, he's not Stone Cold, but he does this two things. He's he either just plays just make me look like an absolute monster. Like, he's in Army of the Dead and that's his role in Dune. Right. Like, he looks,
that's right. Yeah,
terrifying.
Looks in Dune. Yeah.
He's in Blade Runner, his look as Drax is quite intense, but he also has all these roles where some of these aren't breaking the box office, but he is having fun. And he's in Stuber with Kumail Nanjiani and, his Drax roles, he's very, very funny. And I feel like this is he kind of gets to do both. He gets to be this big, huge guy while also getting to he knows exactly who he's playing in this movie. There's a recurring bit with him that is just is so funny that it's such a satire on this type of person. It's really good. Yeah,
I do. Yeah. It's super enjoyable. Dave Bautista, love to see him. And he seems like a great guy.
Great guy. All right. Well, you mentioned him. Edward Norton.
The real Dave Bautista.
The real Dave Bautista, Edward Norton. That's hilarious.
Similarly, I felt like we haven't seen him in that much, right?
I agree. He was in Birdman in like 2014.
Right.
And I feel like he shows up in some
The French Dispatch, which we covered, but that was
He shows up in some
ensemble.
Wes Anderson stuff. Notoriously, I mean, for two people in this movie who come out of Marvel, this is like they try to cover up this one. That like, yeah, he was not the Hulk. Don't worry about it. That's the other guy. He's not the Hulk. Don't worry about it. Yeah, Edward Norton is not the Hulk.
He was in Sausage Party. And
was
it seems
he?
Like he's going to be in the upcoming Sausage Party sequel, Sausage Party: Foodtopia.
I can't believe they're sequelizing Sausage. I've never seen Sausage Party.
I've never
seen Sausage Party. Yeah, me
one.
Either. Me either. Yeah.
I wanted to want to.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's in Alita Battle. He's in Motherless Brooklyn. Yeah, he's doing the West End. He's in Isle of Dogs. Yeah, you know, he's in Asteroid City, which is Wes Anderson movie.
No?
No?
Oh, sorry. I thought it was like a Sci-Fi Channel, like original.
No.
That no one had seen. And I was just kind of like, no, thank you.
No, that's the next Wes Anderson project, which has everybody who's ever been in a Wes Anderson project. It's going to be huge. Yeah, but I feel like, again, this is like, I feel like this movie for both Kate Hudson and Edward Norton is like, yeah, they're good at acting. Don't forget, they're good.
Remember these people? And it feels so good to have them back. Like there is, I think, a little bit, I think I already said this, but like a little bit of like that nostalgia factor. Mm-hmm. It's just so good. He's aging beautifully, I will say.
He looks great. Yeah, how old is Edward? You want to play a game?
Born
how old
in
is he
69. Sorry.
Yeah, he's 53.
I try to stop myself.
No, you can't stop yourself from looking up their ages.
Yeah, I'm sitting on this page. Great job here playing a really funny role. And he's just a joy. Like there were so many moments in this movie where I'm just sitting there looking at this cast and being like, wow, this is great. Like I don't even care what happens. It's just so much fun watching these people talk to each other.
Oh, I totally agree. If it's like they're all together and interacting with each other, or as they like pair off and you get different scenes, you're like, oh, that's fun. This is fun. Yeah. Edward Norton and Kate Hudson just talking. So great. Yeah.
He brings back Fight Club in this movie. No, I'm just
that's
kidding.
Right. He does. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I think sort of rounding it, there are some other folks who are on the island with them, but I think really rounding out sort of the crew of people is Janelle Monáe. And boy, she's so good in this movie.
She's so good. I was ready to write her off at some point, and then I was like, oh wait, you got me back. So fun.
Yeah,
I haven't seen her in much. I know she's like newish to the acting game. I know she was in, I remember she was in Moonlight in a smallish role. And then she did she was in the second season of Homecoming.
She was,
Homecoming in season one was an Amazon original series starring Julia Roberts, which was a huge deal. And then she starred in season two, and I wish that I had seen it. Now that I see her acting,
I haven't seen it either. Yeah, Joan Cusack. And Hong Chao. Ooh, I might need to watch Homecoming.
Yes, Hong Chao was in season one and did an incredible job. Like Homecoming is the reason that I appreciate Hong Chao more now.
Oh, Sam Esmail left after season one, so that's interesting as well. Did Julia Roberts leave after one season? I don't know. Interesting. Yeah, Janelle Monáe. Yeah, has not. I'm not really familiar with her acting work, and they put a lot on her in this movie, and I think it actually is it to his correct choice, Ryan Johnson. She's great. Yeah.
One person that I want to mention that this was like, as much as I have been happy to see all these other people, and I've spoken already at length about like how much I love some of these actors. To see Jessica Henwick be in this big movie, like I love her so much more now after she played Bugs in the newest Matrix movie. And
oh, yes.
She was in I guess. Oh yeah, she was in Gray Man. I remember that. She played like a CIA person. She was good in that.
Yes.
I love Jessica Henwick.
Nymeera Sant.
One of the only good things about the Iron Fist TV series, and I haven't even seen it. I'm just regurgitating something that I read on Twitter. Because no one who watched that had much good to say unfortunately. But she's so good in that universe. And then again, I saw her in Matrix, and now I'm kind of like all in on Jessica Henwick.
Yeah.
And she's having so much fun here. And I loved this for her and from her.
She's really good. She gets a lot of the crew is quite eccentric, and she's like sort of our insight, like, because like Benoit Blanc, I think was, I wonder if there's like a world where like she wasn't in this movie, and as they're like, well, Benoit Blanc can't be the, like, you know, looking at the camera like Jim Halpert, like straight
right,
man,
right,
because
right,
like he's eccentric himself, and
right.
So she gets added in here, I think, is like to play that role and she's really good. She's
a bunch
really
of physical good. Comedy too from her, which yes. I think is hard to pull off. I love it.
The other person who's involved, Madeline Klein, plays Whiskey, who I am like not familiar with Madeline Klein at all. Apparently been in Outer Banks, a couple episodes of Stranger Things. Definitely been in things, but I didn't know her. But she's good. I mean, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She has an incredible, I think one of my favorite things is when someone gets like a really good name, a character name for their IMDb. And her name is literally Whiskey, which is just amazing.
Her name is Whiskey, and as ridiculous as that sounds, they do a great job of letting you know that it's just as ridiculous in the movie. Like, it's not like her name is Whiskey, and it's like, wow, everything is cool about this. And to be clear, having the name Whiskey is not a bad thing. It just sounds so ridiculous. And especially the way that she says it when she's introducing herself, I think is adding a lot of the comedy.
Yeah.
A stiff drink, this Whiskey.
Yeah, like sometimes you can look at like someone's IMDb page and they just get like a real good, like, I'm gonna pull up Dave Bautista's. Yeah, like his name in this movie is pretty good. His name is Duke Cody. It's pretty good. But like, you know, Drax the Destroyer, his name in Dune is Glossu Robin. It's pretty good. He's a Sapper Morton in the Blade Runner series, right? Like, these are great. I love that these people who get the
yes. See? And last person I will call out, because I swore I would, and this is not spoiling any of like the more quote unquote surprise cameos, Dallas Roberts, who plays a husband to one of the characters. He's not really that important, but he's just so good. I love him from playing Alicia's brother on The Good Wife. And also he was on that show.
Chicago PD. He was in
Rubicon, the short-lived AMC one-season show that should have... It's my anti-season one take. There should have been more of that, and it was really good playing Miles. But I love Dallas Roberts, and similarly, I smiled when he showed up, even though...
Yeah, apparently he did a crossover from a Law and Order Special Victims Unit, Chicago PD, and Chicago Fire. He was in all of those as one character, apparently, which is pretty incredible. He's also in The Walking Dead, so for a year.
I forgot about that. Yeah, that's when I fell off. And then I was like, oh, I should go back for him.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything
Someone's got to fix his filmography. He is a good filmography, and his filmography on the website is very bad. Someone needs to fix that.
Someone needs to fix this. Can we fix his career?
Oh, he was in Motherless Brooklyn. Edward Norton was also in.
Oh wow! Look at all these connections.
It does feel like Ryan Johnson called one person and was like, "Who do you know?"
Get everyone you can.
That's right. That's a bit what it feels like, because they're all having been in stuff with each other.
Okay, and here's my thing. As we look forward, right? Like, I think we've talked enough about this movie that we can't talk about. But as far as like keeping on the franchise for a second, as we look forward, I have to believe this is kind of like, if you're an actor, you want to be in this movie so badly, or like you want to be in this next movie so badly, because it's low commitment, high exposure, seems like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Like, it's a win-win, right? Like, there's no losing if you get cast in this franchise.
Yeah, so you know what we should do then? We should draft who's going to be in Knives Out 3. And we should also guess the name.
Brendan Fraser. Like, sorry.
Okay, yeah, you can have the first pick. You can take Brendan Fraser. I'll take Gosh, who else is like, yeah, that's a perfect guess just in the level of like fame that, mm-hmm. That he's at.
He's about to hit it bigger because of the whale. And so his stock is only going to go up, and he's probably not that expensive. Sorry, not sorry, you know? So like to your point a little bit about like the levels.
Yeah.
Ooh, I was Andrew Lincoln. Speaking of, sorry. I'm just reading Wikipedia.
People's names. Yeah. I want to take somebody who's like sort of in the Janelle Monáe, but like, you know, so like hasn't acted or like isn't up. You know, I was thinking there is somebody who's also in The Whale who I think could be. You know what? I'll do it.
The whale from The Whale.
Who is played by
Scarlett Johansson.
That's right. No, I'm gonna draft Sadie Sink. Who had a breakout season of Stranger Things and then is going to be in The Whale. And I feel like that could be fun. And then who else should I take? I feel like I need somebody in the, I'll take William H. Macy in the like, you know, it's a little bit of a throwback, a throwback pick. You want to take another pick?
Sure. I will pick someone who was like more famous before and now a little less famous, probably isn't that expensive, no shade. But I would be very happy to see myself in this role or play a role, you know, in the next movie perhaps. And it's kind of checking a bunch of boxes. I'm going to pick America Ferrera.
That's good. That's fun. Yeah, America Ferrera. That's a good pick. I think you get another one. We get one more pick.
We're doing two, so we'll do.
Yeah, because we'll do three total. Each. Because you, yeah.
Okay. Oh God. Yeah. I would pick Jessica Henwick, but she's.
Yeah, that's right. Well, to be fair, no, only Benoit Blanc returned. I was thinking of the like.
Maybe you know, Tanya from White Lotus.
Maybe that back. Would be good. Yeah.
Huh? Let me quickly search. No, I don't care. I don't want
name
it to
a woman.
Name a woman. No, I was going to say I don't want it to be what's his name, the singer. I know. Married to a Jonas brother, Chopra Natalie? No, Nick Jonas.
Yeah, I know who you mean. Married to, is it Joe Jonas? Is it Nick? So Sophie Turner is married to Joe Jonas.
Right,
and
right, right.
Chopper is married to Nick Jonas.
Yes.
That's who you want?
I think she'd be fun, yeah. Oh, and and keeping in the connections, she was in the Matrix movies with Bugs, aka Jessica Henwick. So there you go.
That's good. I'm going to take Sally Field as my last pick. I keep seeing her. I love Sally Field. I love her so much. She's in. She's going to be in this movie. I don't think we're going to cover it. I don't think it's
spoiler
big
alert.
Alert. Which is not the name of this pod, but will be for our other Glass Onion pod. Will be spoiler alert. Yeah, she looks delightful in that, and I feel like it could be really fun in a murder mystery. Yeah, Sally Field. I love Sally Field. Yeah.
She's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Priyanka, I remembered finally.
Priyanka Chopra. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. I think, you know, there's only so much we can say without spoiling the movie, but you know, if you've gotten this far, should we just like give a little teaser for people who like have seen it of like, what can I say without spoiling it? Is this too dangerous of a game? Is this too risky?
No.
iPad.
iPad is. Oh, yes. It's like the Twitter game, like without spoilers, like something without context, rather. Spoilers without context. iPad's a good one.
iPad.
Oh, wow. Priyanka's only 5'5. that wasn't a spoiler.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. God, that's. Glass I think I took onion. The good one, I think.
Glass Onion doesn't count. No. That is a good one. I'll say this doesn't really count as one, but I will say, what's that brand of what's the one? I'm gonna remember it right now in 10 seconds. It is Fabletics. No, I can't remember it. It's an athleisure brand, but anyway.
For making sweatpants.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. That joke kills me. Sorry, I know I can't even do it. Yeah, the last one is a Fibonacci sequence. I'll say Fibonacci sequence.
Yes, the person that says that whole thing is great.
This is too dangerous of a game.
Come listen to us tell you what's funny out of context. That's right. This is what you came here for.
That's right. Yeah, this is for the people, I think, who watched the movie already. Well, if you did, you could chat with us about it on the Poster Recaps Patreon Discord. You can go on Patreon, patreon.com/PosterRecaps. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast feed. And you know what else you get, Ariel, if you become a patron?
Steven Spielberg lists.
Yeah, you get voting rights specifically. So big apologies, because we sent out a full list. We're like, tell us what the best Steven Spielberg movies. Which now it just seems like I just did that on a whimsy. I was just like, I wonder what people's favorite Spielberg movie is. Like,
I'm just curious what the answer will be, and then knew nothing with the results.
Interesting. Okay, moving on. Yeah. So at the end of Fablemans, at the end of Fablemans, we were supposed to do top 10 Spielberg characters, and we forgot. So I did compile them, and this feels like a weird place to do it. But as to Ariel's point, it'll get weirder and weirder the longer we don't tell people.
We either do it now or we can never do it ever.
Yeah. Okay. So let me give you the rundown. You want the list? I'll go 10 to 1. Sure. Do you want to comment as we go, or you want me to tell you?
Do 10 to 5, and then we can comment.
Okay.
And then or 10 to 6, and then 5 to
gotcha,
5.
Gotcha. All right. Number 10, Rufio from Hook. I think a great choice. Yeah, Rufio. 33 points. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then Elliot from E.T. Boy. Then,
Elliot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then,
I like it. You should have something for everyone. Oh, then Dr. Ellie Sattler. From Jurassic Park.
Oh shit, dinosaurs.
And then I love this. There's a tie for essentially sixth place, which is from both Chief Martin Brody from Jaws and the shark from Jaws.
That's incredible. You can't make that up.
I know, you really can't. Yeah.
I'm gonna make a shark noise.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chief Martin Brody, Bruce the Shark from Jaws, Ellie Sattler, Elliot, and Rufio. It is Bruce the Shark. I don't know if that's what they name Jaws in, but certainly the fake mechanical shark.
No, I know the reference. Kind of forgotten it.
I know. Yeah.
Bruce, like when you're a Springsteen concert, which I've never been to, but I've seen footage.
I go to everyone.
I'm there right now.
I haven't missed a Springsteen concert in 48 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow, longer than you've been alive. So impressive.
Yeah. Okay, then here's a fun game. Any guesses on the top five then? Those are the bottom
Rufio.
Five.
I almost said Jack Skellington, but I just realized that's not a
That was the number one rated Halloween character.
Okay, Steven Spielberg, one of the dinosaurs.
Okay, a lot of people put all of the dinosaurs, and I could not rightfully count your vote, but there were a few votes that said for the Velociraptor and
the system is
and the T-Rex. So the T-Rex got 13 points and the Velociraptor got 23 points.
Mm-hmm. So did you lump them together? Sorry, what was your ultimate?
No. Then if you said all the dinosaurs, you can't say like, oh yeah, all the lost
all the humans. From,
It's
a little dinosaurist to be like, oh.
Somebody did put, this is my favorite vote on the ballot. I will never out you as to who voted for this, but someone voted.
I will. No, I won't.
Wilson from Castaway, who is not from a Steven Spielberg movie. That is a Robert Zemeckis movie. That was my favorite.
Oh my God. That's hilarious. Yeah. First of all, bless you, this person.
I love
that character, even though he's a volleyball.
All right, I'll give you the top five, because I think that I think number one is like one with a bullet. So I think number five is Oscar Schindler. Number four is Robert Quint, Quint from Jaws. Number three,
we're gonna need a bigger boat.
Need a bigger boat.
That wasn't
number three is E.T. the extraterrestrial.
Right.
Yeah. Number two is Dr. Ian Malcolm from Jurassic Park, Jeff Goldblum himself.
Yes.
And number one, with a bullet, got 10 first place votes, immediately giving him 100 points and having more points than anybody else, is Indiana Jones.
I should have seen that coming. I was like,
yeah, me too.
I was going to be really surprised if it was Sam Neill from Jurassic Park. I can't remember his name now.
Alan Grant, he's tied for 11th. So he just barely missed.
That was my impression of Ellie Sattler. Indiana Jones. I mean,
yeah, it's iconic, right? Which is very fun because there's
consummate man, Harrison Ford at his prime. Like, you can't, unfortunately, as toxic as some of the representations might be in today's society, like I cannot deny, I can't think of another person who would look as good being that dirty. I'll say that.
Wow. Yeah. Short round got some votes. Henry Jones, Indiana Jones' father, got some votes as well.
Did the face talking guy from the Indiana Jones movie get any?
Yeah, but I didn't count any of them. Yeah, I think he's a Nazi, if I remember correctly.
I think he was. If he wasn't a Nazi, he was a Nazi apologist. Yeah. So we do not apologize for that.
Yeah. Indiana Jones gets 157 points. Dr. Ian Malcolm gets 93. And so with all of Indiana Jones's first place votes, he gets 100 points and runs away with the vote, but I think very well deserved. Indiana Jones 5, also starring Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
There's Phoebe Bridgers, the music person, and then Phoebe Waller-Bridge, the Fleabag person.
Okay, it's the Fleabag
person. And then fleas, which are just like animals, or you're a member of the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
They're probably in Indiana Jones because he's so dirty, right? So fleas. But there's stills from number 5, so presumably it will drop in 2023. So another Indiana Jones movie coming, and also Harrison Ford is going to be in another Yellowstone sequel, a spinoff called 1923, I believe. Can you believe there are shows called 1989, 1883, and 1923 all on TV?
And 1899, which isn't related to any of them.
No.
I'm trying to do my Harrison Ford impression. Then that's from
that's good.
From the
Last Jedi or whatever.
The one from Force Awakens. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought E.T. might have a bigger run, but I feel like Indiana Jones is so much like there's more of them, more movies. Again, there's not more of them, there's only one Indiana Jones, but there's more movies. Right. And I think for the PSR crew, I think Indiana Jones has a stronger spot in their hearts than
I'm surprised his whip didn't get any votes.
It did.
No, it didn't.
My favorite part, I know this has been said a million times, but the movie E.T. is called E.T. the Extraterrestrial, which stands for Extraterrestrial the Extraterrestrial.
E.T. the E.T. ATM, yeah. The ATM machine. No, that's like triple or quadruple time. I actually saw E.T. in theaters for the first time ever. And I'm
really,
let me rephrase that. I saw E.T. for the first time ever recently at a theater.
That makes it sound like you were at the very first showing of E.T.
It sounded like I had seen it, but never seen it in theater.
Steven was like, hey, I have a movie. Would you like to come check it out? I'll like test it and see if
we
you
were
like
calling
it.
Him Stevie at the time because he wasn't yet respected.
Stevie. Was it good watching it in theaters?
It was good. It was like I cried. And I wanted to be a little bit more blown away, but it was no less enchanting and lovely.
Here's more synergy. Henry Thomas, who plays Elliot, who came in at number 9 on the list, is in a bunch of the...
He's in the Haunting of Hill House
things.
Yeah, LaTanya and I talked about how creepy his blue contacts looked in Hill House and how he never really recovered after that.
I'd also like to give a shout out to the 16th character on the list. Getting 16 votes actually, which is Abraham Lincoln.
Stop.
Yeah.
Wasn't Sally Field in that?
Is this Mary Lincoln?
Are we talking about Lincoln?
Yeah.
I think she played. No, I think that was in the John Adams TV show. Never mind.
Lincoln. No, she is. She's Mary Todd Lincoln. Yeah,
I told you. Right. I didn't doubt myself for a
okay, here's another. Okay, if we switch back to Glass Onion just for a second, because the other fun thing I've been seeing is I've been seeing a lot of the memes have been put these people in a White Lotus. I've seen this a lot, right? Like it'll be I'll see like Survivor people, or it's like just take the cast of this
true,
show.
It is already kind of a murder mystery in White Lotus. I hadn't even thought of that connection. That's so dumb of me.
But if you could take any other movie and then you take the cast and they're now in a Glass Onion, a Knives Out mystery. I was just looking at the Lincoln, which is Daniel Day-Lewis, Sally Field, Tommy Lee Jones, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and James Spader. And like, yeah, I mean, the Lincoln movie is a little white, but like, I feel like it could be a very fun Knives Out movie. Daniel Day-Lewis.
A really lame answer, which is put the Grey's Anatomy cast.
I'll take
the original
that.
One. The original one.
OG cast.
Yes. You can include Joe Wilson in there too. I've grown to love her tremendously.
Yeah, that would be fun. Yeah.
That would be
like, I would take the
surgery.
Succession.
There's no surgery. Yeah. He's dead already. That's straight from the straight
he's
from
dead
the
already. I don't know if I could do. I'm trying to do my Benoit Blanc.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good.
Yeah, been trying. Yeah. Well,
simple games. That's enough.
Okay, I can't wait to talk about all the things from this movie and get to spoil them. Or hopefully you'll go and watch it, or wait for it to come on Netflix and then watch it and then chat about it. We have a very special guest lined up. I will not announce, as we know things can change, but
it is a known quantity, just like some of the people in this movie. It's someone you're here and you're like, oh, I know that person.
Yeah, if we catch this person and get them to come on Post Recaps Theater, I will be very, very excited. So and then we'll frame them for murder.
Yes.
Yeah.
We just.
I actually did pitch recently. We were playing Clue. I did pitch a rap murder mystery, which I think would be very fun. You know, have you ever done a murder mystery night? Have you done them?
No. I think the closest I've ever done is like a mafia. Like a much more extensive thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it would be very fun. So.
I agree. It would be really fun. And I would wear sunglasses at night and everything in order to seem more suspicious.
I would order the Benoit Blanc swimming outfit from this movie. So
I have to say, the Kate Hudson's character fashion in this movie is I think 100%. Number tied maybe for first place at least, because it's, you know, it's like menswear, women's, or it's a little, you know, whatever. Daniel Craig, like, clearly looks great in clothing. I think that's a big part of it. But incredible outfits here in this movie. Like the chunky sweaters, you know, I think that's a thing that was big in the first movie, certainly with what's his name? Captain America wearing like the famous chunky sweater. Chris Evans.
Chris Evans.
But Daniel Craig, thank you.
Yeah,
we'll leave it.
Yeah, the Chris Evans sweater is iconic. I don't think anything tops it, but the Benoit Blanc swim outfit I think is very
the swim outfit close. the a lot of some nautical themes, you know, they're in this you know, on this island and they're traveling by boat. There is a nautical t-shirt, like blue and white stripes, but I will just give an honorable mention to the maroon navy shawl collar cardigan that he's wearing that I loved.
It's very fashionable. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's how you know he's queer.
That's what the movie's telling us.
I just want a disclaimer. You're only allowed to repeat that joke if you are, in fact, LGBTQ. I just need to, like, just to put a little blanket on that one, just to, like, make sure. Yeah, I would like people, just want to say that.
Perfect place to end.
Yeah, okay, Ariel, what else do you got going on?
I am frantically shopping for the sweater right now on a separate tab. But I am covering, we spoke a bunch about White Lotus this episode. I am covering just that with our friend, Dr. Amanda. We're down to the final two episodes. So next week and the week after, episode 6 and 7, we have a special guest lined up for episode 6. I don't know if we should say. It's Grace. Thank God she's here to verify that.
I deny all these rumors.
No, you can't just book me live.
You're categorically false.
Deny. Covering that with Dr. Amanda, and then covering a TV show with you and our friend.
That's a mystery.
Billy Rich, 1899, one of the aforementioned year titled shows. Not part of the Yellowstone universe, but no less
could be. Actually, we don't know.
We're actually not sure yet. Mm-hmm. But so far, after 4 episodes, I watched the 5th one. I gotta say, it's my favorite so far. Covering 1899 with you and Tim Philly. I'm on Twitter for now at that other Ariel. I'm also on, as the social media platform of choice dies, seemingly, I'm also on Letterboxd at AR_F, as in Frank.
You are, yes. I'm covering The Crown with Shannon Gus. It's been very fun. We do 2 episodes a week, so we're taking it a bit slow, but I think that's what the show deserves. So covering that over on Rob Has a Podcast. We have Roll Call, a board game show, which Ariel is joining. We just are on each other's pods this week. This is the week of us being on each other's pods.
We can't help ourselves, rather.
Yeah, that's right. And so we're playing Spyfall. That's a mystery game. We played Clue last month. So
do I need to do prep for this? Like, in the sense of, like, I'm happy to come into it cold knowing nothing. No. I just wonder what's, like, the right way to do it.
Do you know what my favorite way live to prep for any board game? Yeah, is to, I'll send you a YouTube, like, a quick YouTube video of, like, people playing. Okay. I'll send you that. That's, like, the best way, you know, watch, like, 5-6 minutes of it. That's right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and that's it for me. Everything else Ariel mentioned. I'm on Twitter at Hi From Grace. I am on Letterboxd. Go For Grace is my Letterboxd handle from my days as having a walkie-talkie at camp.
Be like, go for Grace.
Yeah, Go For Grace. And then you say your message.
10-4, copy.
I like Hi From Grace, but sometimes I like, I wish all my stuff was Go For Grace because I think it's so fun. But
you can change now that Twitter's going to die. You can make it whatever you want.
All the new platforms, I'll be Go For Grace. Yeah. Okay, well, later this week, we are going to be chatting about the weirdest movie I've seen all year, I think. Bones and All, Timothée Chalamet movie. We're going to be joined by a special guest, all things go well. Phil Thompson, will be back joining us to recap that movie. And it's weird, and I think I feel bad for liking it, Ariel. It's like, I came out of the movie.
I thought it a second time, and I was like, ooh, I don't know if I can.
Yeah, like that person keeps watching Bones and All. I know it's very strange, and I'm very excited to dig into it. I don't like that. Ooh,
bite into it. Take a nice chunk.
Yeah, this is the one where it's like I felt very similarly when I loved Jojo Rabbit, and people are like, what's it about? You're like, it's about a child in the Nazi youth, but don't worry, it's good, don't worry about it.
It's funny. It's funny.
You know,
this one is not funny, but it's enchanting in its own way.
Yeah, I like what they were doing. I think I like it. So I don't know.
I smell what they were stepping in.
Oh, all right. Well, that's Ariel. I'm Grace. This is Post Show Recaps Theater, and we'll be back later this week with more movie coverage. Until then, bye bye.